Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live Seneca series. And today we have with us Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Maryville, Tennessee. Yes, that's Maryville. Can't make this stuff up. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. Prayer is going to be a supplication taken from the Virgin Mary in the kingdom. It's day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let me bring the sisters in. I'm going to ask them to unmute themselves. I'm going to pin them. Grateful Hello. To have awakened today. Hello, Mother. Hello,
Hello,
sisters.
How are you and everybody
Hello,
out there?
Hello, everybody.
Nice to be with you again.
Grateful to have awakened today, physically as well as spiritually. Mother, aren't we truly blessed to be alive at this time?
Yes, we are very much blessed. What a great time to be alive.
Really
this
is.
Beautiful gift of the divine will is the most fantastic gift that anybody could ever want or desire, you know. So we're so blessed to be alive at this time in history when God is purifying the world and the church to get ready for this new era that's coming, when everyone will be living in his divine will and Our Lady's Immaculate Heart will triumph. We know that's coming soon. We have a lot to look forward to. Great things are getting ready to happen.
They really are. I mean, and you know, our mother's really mother has really telegraphed everything to us. I mean, all the apparitions, all the visitations, all the insights that she gave us. I mean, Fatima, just to mention one. I mean, she talked about this diabolical disorientation we're going to have right now, the good to be bad, all that, and we've gone through that before. But she also said to Fatima that the triumph of her Immaculate Heart will occur when, I'm not using the exact words, but she said, will occur when all hope will appear to be lost. And I think many, I mean, the younger generations, I've been speaking to parents who have, you know, teenage children. I mean, this desolation, these children have no direction. They have no motivation to do anything. I mean, they've got all the wrong role models that are being constantly bombarded in front of their face on YouTube and TikTok and all these other things. And then really they're suffering. And again, this is all by design, because the Communist Manifesto knew they get to our children, corrupt them physically, spiritually, emotionally, and they've done a pretty good job. I mean, we're beyond the point of no return. The only way we can come back is God. And of course, when all hope has appeared to be lost, here's the gift of the divine will, which again negates every evil, is the antidote to every poison, and is really all we need, Mother.
Yes, God has had great mercy on this generation of especially the youth. They didn't ask to be put in this world with things so messed up in society. And so God has had great mercy on them. And I think they will get special graces for conversion, you know, and so that they can be saved, you know, and turn their lives around and live for God and God alone. You know, that's the only way we're happy, when we live for him and him alone. You know, we were made for him. And we're made to know, love him, and serve him, to be happy now and in the next world. So the more we love him, know him, and serve him now, the happier we will be. And of course, the happiest people in the world are those who are truly living in his divine will. And how do we get there? Reading these beautiful books that our Lord gave Louisa, applying these beautiful books, letting him transform your life. Little by little, you're being transformed as you seek to live in his divine will. I was just reading here, volume 27. November 10th, 1929. You must know, our Lord tells Louisa, that as many times as a soul operates in my divine will, she empties herself of her own will, and forms as many doors to let mine enter. The more acts she does in my divine will, the more entrances she gives it in such a way as to become all irradiated by the light of my divine fiat. So this light of his divine fiat will radiate more and more in your soul, the more acts you do in his divine will. The more you're going to die, the more you're going to shrink, your human will be one with his. And that's what we all want, you know. We want his will and our will to become one. Mother Angelica wrote a book one time, Two Wills, His and Mine. And that was all about our will becoming totally dissolved and united with God's will. Even though she hadn't read any of the divine will writings, our Lord was teaching Mother to a certain extent about living in the divine will. You know, some souls have gotten an infused gift of understanding it without reading the books. But for us, I'm glad I have the books. I need the books to learn how to live it. Some people may get a gift, but, you know, I think it's very few. Very few have that gift. Some of the saints after Louisa, got some knowledge about it. They hadn't gotten the books yet. I don't think the books came out until what, the 80s or 90s. Some people got it in the 80s. I don't know how they got it. I didn't get it until 98. And it was just was coming out like in 97 or so, I think, when five people were allowed to go in the archives in the Vatican to make copies of all Louisa's writings that had been placed in the archives. And so I don't know how those other people got those writings. Maybe they had copies of them that were given to others that they got a hold of. But that's when they, I think the Vatican, I think Cardinal Ratzinger let them go in 97, I think it was. Is that correct, Peter?
Yeah, I think it was 96 or 97. Yeah,
96.
I think it was actually maybe 96, I think it was.
Yeah, and then I've heard some people read him in the 70s and 80s, so I don't know where they got him. They probably didn't have them all, you know. And we right. didn't have them all at the beginning. Tom Faye was translating them into English, and there was only one book would come out after another. And I remember I couldn't wait to get another book when he would translate them. And then Marina Di Ariano did them all in 2000s. I forget what year she started, but she did them all then. And so they're all translated now into English, you know. Now, only the Italian has the imprimatur, Neil Opstad, on it. But, you know, you can trust the translation out there. I've read it. It's good. It's wonderful. I haven't found anything wrong with the translation. It's very good. I've got sisters in Italy that read both. They read the Italian and they read the English. And they don't find anything wrong with English after reading the Italian. So, and they speak Italian fluently, so they were able to read the Italian. Father Elijah read it in Italian too, and now he's reading in English now that he's back in the States. But you know, there's nothing wrong with the English translation. So, and the Archbishop of Crato encouraged us to read. He was only talking to Americans at this meeting some years back. And he was only talking to Americans who were reading the English translation. And he encouraged us to read it, to print it, to give it to friends. He just said, please don't publish it, but you can share it, you know. So he encouraged that. So right. I think, you know, we don't want to lose this beautiful gift. When Louisa would be writing these volumes, and priests would be taking them from her. And our Lord came one time and complained that they were just leaving it on their desk. And he wanted it out to the people. So our Lord wanted it out to the people. And so we must give it out to the people. We must teach it if we have a chance, share it with others, share it with your friends, your family members. You know, they may not want it, but you won't hurt to share it, to try, you know, and you get the merit for having shared it, whether they accept it and take it or not, you know. So God wants us to evangelize. God wants us to preach the gospel. And the best gospel here is, you know, reading, preaching about the divine will. And of course, reading the scriptures. Our Lady of Medjugorje keeps telling us, you know, the things that she told us to do, one of them was read the scriptures. We should do that every day. And even though I know that we have the scriptures read every day at Mass, in the Divine Office, we have the scriptures read. But also to study the scriptures, it's good to spend a little time doing that on a daily basis. We spend so much time.
You know why, Mother? Because with the scriptures, no matter how often we've read them or how many times we've read them, now with the divine will, with the grace that God is giving at any particular time, we can better understand. Again, that explication,
right.
You can better understand the scriptures now based on the grace given to us through the gift of the divine will. So everything is, yet it's old, but yet it's all anew to us. You know, we haven't seen it, we haven't heard it, we haven't recognized it before, but it's always been there. So everything is a joy. Everything is new, really, if you think about it, even though it's old.
Well, after reading it so many times, everything I read touches my heart in a different way. Now that I read the divine will, I understand it, but it sinks into my heart. And so everything becomes a prayer after that. It's like not only understanding the divine will makes you understand everything else more profoundly. And so it does transform your soul, your heart and soul much more after you've read the volumes and you understand them. In volume, this is volume 28, again, April 1st, 1930. Our Lord says, following my will, Uniting oneself in its acts, going around in it over and over again, serves to form the nourishment with which to nourish, form, and make its life grow in your soul. Its life can nourish itself with no other acts but those which are done in its will. Nor can it form in the creature or grow if she does not enter into it. And by the union of her acts, it forms in her its birth of light to form its life of divine will in the creature. And the more acts of divine will she forms, and the more she unites herself with his acts and lives in it, the more abundant food she forms to nourish it and make it grow more quickly within her soul. Therefore, your going around in it is life that it forms. It is nourishment that serves the development of the life of my divine will in your soul, and it serves to prepare the food to nourish my will in the other creatures. Therefore, be attentive and do not want to stop. We know that every soul throughout the world is blessed by our acts and round in divine will. All of heaven exalts in us doing an act and round in divine will. They're waiting for us because they get blessed too. There's blessings that flow everywhere from those who are trying to live in God's divine will. What a beautiful gift. All we have to do is desire it and ask Jesus to do his acts in us. And we are transformed gradually, little by little. You're going to find as you read these volumes and you let them sink into your heart and soul, and you're dying to yourself more and more, you're shrinking, you're beginning to love people more, you're beginning to see them in a different light because the Lord is radiating in your soul. You're seeing everything through his eyes. Everything takes on a different look. Even nature changes. Nature changes to you. Things don't bother you the same. You kind of just float. You get detached. The more you do acts and round than divine will, also, you get detached from everything and everybody. You love others because of Christ. You don't try to possess others or possess anything. You can be detached from everything. Now, detachment just means that you can let things go if you have to. And it's not a big deal. A poor person can be attached to the littlest thing that they own. A billionaire can be detached from all of his money if he lets it go, if he needs to, or give it away freely. So detachment comes from loving God first. Even married people, if God is not first in their marriage, the marriage will fall apart. Both parties, both of them have to love the Lord immensely to really, truly love one another the way they're supposed to love each other. We're going to become detached from all the things the world gives us. You can delight in the things the world Lord gives you. You can delight in food and in entertainments, but it doesn't matter if it's taken away from you. That's detachment. You're not attached. You don't have to have it. You know, you don't have to have six cars in your yard. You know, you don't have to have the latest things on market. You know, you're free from all of that. So the more you live in his divine will, the more he will free you. He's the one that transforms us. We can't transform ourselves. The more you do that, the more you're being transformed little by little. God is transforming you, making you more like him. You're taking on his virtues, his attributes. As you do this, as you call him into everything you do throughout the day, think of him throughout the day, read the writings every day. If you don't read it, you're going to stop doing acts and rounds on divine will. It keeps you doing them. You know, it keeps you mindful of the fact that God wants this and that it changes your life. You know, when you do, when you think of him doing things throughout the day in you, you get happy, you get a joy. I know I do. If I forget about doing it, I lose something. I don't have the same excitement, the same joy about the spiritual life. So, you know, you say that little prayer in the morning, asking him to do everything in and through you. That's good. And he will, as long as it's not a sinful act. But then during the day, by calling him into your activities, you're going to see that you get this joy and this peace that comes upon you more than any kind of entertainment you could participate in the world, more than a good movie you could watch. Your joy increases as you live your life for him. And you're going to see how that happens. You want joy in your life. You don't have to run to all kinds of places to find it. You find it by letting him relive his life in you and letting him transform your soul and make you what he really wants you to be for all eternity in heaven. You know, most were just listening to Frances Hogan, and then she was talking about the degree. They were talking about the degrees of living in the divine will, the 4 degrees. And she said, mentioned that most people are in the second degree. That's true, where your passions still kind of control you sometimes, or you still give in to your passions. But we all want to get to that fourth degree. And because why? Why do we want to get that fourth degree? Because we want to give God the honor and glory he deserves. All of this is about giving God the honor and glory he deserves. It's not about us. Your motive has to be very pure. You're not wanting to do this and live this because you want a higher place in heaven. You'll get that if you live totally in his divine will, but you want it because you want to glorify God. You want to give God the honor and glory he deserves. And that's what we lost from the fall of Adam and Eve. And now we're getting it back. We're giving back the honor and glory to God that he deserves to get. So we want to do that. We want to glorify God with our lives. And as you do that, you're going to change everybody around you, everyone, your family. You're going to see your family members being transformed. Our Lord even told Louisa that those living totally in his divine will, he will save their family members. You want to save your family members. You live totally in his divine will. And that's a pure motive. You're trying to save other souls. So that's another pure motive of wanting to live in his divine will.
That's right. And you mentioned really importantly, Mother, about wanting it for the right reason, wanting it for God above all. That's I think what we can consider the upright intention, having the right reason, the right discipline for that. And that's the one also that if you think about, is usually what stops us, I think, sometimes from entering deeper into this. Remember, he gives us four principles, I guess you want to call them, that way that we must possess in order to receive this gift. He says, one, we must be, of course, in the state of grace. That's a high level given. Second, he wants us to ask for this gift, whether it be verbally or subliminally. He wants to hear us ask for it. Again, that forms a desire. Third is that the desire, that ardent desire that we crave this. We don't just like it like we like Jell-O. We like it because we know how the magnitude, even to a little degree, the magnitude of this gift. And then, of course, that in of itself gets us close, but without the upright intention. We don't want it for ourselves. We don't want it for just our family. We don't want it just for our friends or for mother or for sister. No, we want it for God. And when we do that, God is going to make sure that all, everything, it gets distributed to everyone. Like you mentioned about the accidental glory. We don't have to work hard. In fact, we don't have to do anything except do the acts and rounds, and God is doing all the heavy lifting. So it really takes a degree of trust. But those are very, I mean, think about what he's asking. Ask for the gift, have an ardent desire, be in the state of grace, and have it for the right reason. This is not impossible. He said, I had to make this easy and accessible to all, in all circumstances, in all situations, in all conditions. He did. He made it easy for each of us to do this if we want to. But usually that upright intention is one that I think that escapes us, at least initially, that we have to remember, God comes first.
Well, it's very easy. It's not complicated at all. Children can live this. It's very, very simple, very easy. And God wants it for us more than we want it. It's not a challenging thing, and it's for everybody. You don't have to be perfect to receive this gift. You don't have to be a special person to receive this gift. What you would call, everybody's special in the eyes of God. We all were created in a very special way that only you can love him the way he created you to love him. And if you don't make it to heaven, that love that he created you to love him with for all eternity won't be there. So love God with all your heart. Give him what he deserves. He's given you life. He wants you to live his life, your life for him. And that's when you get, because he wants you to live your life for him because he wants you to be happy. God loves us. And how are you going to be happy? Only living for him makes you happy. No other way, I encourage you just to live for him and realize you don't have to be, I don't care if you committed the worst sins ever committed. God loves you. He forgives you if you're sorry, and he wants you to give you this gift. I talked to this prisoner who was on death row, he killed his wife because he found out his wife had another lover, and she was pregnant. He thought she was pregnant for the other man. She was pregnant for his child, found out from the DNA that it was his child. He was very sorry. It was a moment of jealousy and anger that he killed her. And now he was put on death row. In California, they took away the death row thing. So now he was in a prison in solitary confinement in his cell, and he loved it. He's been reading the Divine Will. He's just loves the Lord. He said he's like a hermit. He's very sorry for what he did. He apologized to her family. He prays for his wife and his child every day. But he's a wonderful man. And a Benedictine monastery allowed him to become part of them as a monk living in prison as a hermit. And he prays about 9 hours a day, reading the Divine Will. He's taken some courses, theology courses. He prays. Now they sent him to a new prison, and He can go outside now. He can go out in the grounds. So the other day he was praying the rosary in Latin under a tree, and he said another prisoner came, wanted to pray the rosary with him. So he said, "Well, I'll pray it in English." So they prayed the rosary in English. Then now he's got 20 prisoners praying the rosary with him under the tree every day. And he wants to teach them about the divine will. You know, he wanted rosaries. The lady gave him plastic rosaries for all the prisoners. So they gave him a little utility room, and he's making it into a chapel. A deacon comes to bring them, give him a what do you call it, a little service every week, and give them communion once a week, a liturgical service. And they don't have mass, they don't have a priest, but he's hoping that he can get that changed too for the prisoners, have mass every week, and have a little chapel where they could even have the Blessed Sacrament, you know. So this guy is transforming the prison, you know, and he's becoming a saint. You know, I told him about Maria Goretti, how, you know, her murderer became a saint too. He made her a saint, and she made him a saint, you know. So God can write straight with crooked lines. God brings a greater good out of everything, even the things that we do wrong. We have to have trust in his love for us in that way, and his mercy. That if you love him and you turn to him, even the mistakes you made in your life, he can bring to a greater good. I think of Father Don Callaway, who was even kicked out of Japan. He was so bad on drugs and everything, and could never go back to Japan as a teenager. And he read a book of Medjugorje and was converted over just suddenly. And now he's a fantastic priest, you know, really evangelizing, really bringing the people to the Lord. He's got a really beautiful talk on the rosary, the miracles of the rosary. You can just Google it, Father Don Callaway, the rosary, his talk on the rosary. So I encourage you to listen to that, because, you know, Luisa had the rosary in her hand 24/7. Luisa prayed lots of rosaries. Our lady's asking us to pray the 15-decade rosary every day for Medjugorje. So I encourage you to find time to do that. We find time for many, many things. We can find time for these holy things that will make us better and happier.
Right, amen. You mentioned about Father Calloway, Mother. It's very, very true. That is very inspiring. That talk he gives about the rosary. It's also very amusing too. Sister Magdalena probably is familiar with this. How he attributes and credits this group of Filipino ladies that were praying the rosary. And he says in the beginning, all I heard was da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He couldn't understand a word because they were probably praying it so fast and it was all foreign to him. But it was this Filipino group of women that taught him how to pray the rosary. And that really changed his life. He said the rosary in of itself was the greatest thing that just catapulted him out of that pit of desolation that he was in. But really, it's a great story. It's entertaining. It's true. And I think it'll definitely bring a smile to your face for sure.
Well, you can do a divine will rosary too. We used to do it every I do it when I'm walking. So I pray my rosaries, put your I love yous on different aspects of the rosary, of every mystery. The sisters used to take a Hail Mary, and before each Hail Mary would say, "I put my I love you," like on the moment Jesus was born, or, you know, if you sorrowful mysteries on the crucifixion. But every aspect of the mystery, you make it up as you go, and it's a way of doing rounds and meditating on the mysteries of the rosary. But there are many, many miracles that have taken place for the rosary. And I know when I was at with Mother Angelica at EWTN, we had the rosary four times a day. They were filming, they were broadcasting Mother Angelica and the sisters praying the rosary. And we had three times, I think it happened, at ministers. Protestant ministers wrote and asked for rosary book for all their congregation and rosaries for all their congregation, and we sent them all the books and rosaries they wanted. They started praying the rosary together as a congregation, and all three became Catholic. The minister and all of his parishioners became Catholic in all three of these Protestant churches. So the rosary has great power in the rosary. Many miracles take place through the rosary, and you can do a divine will rosary, which makes it so much more even profound.
Right, especially now coming up in the month of May, Our Lady's Month. Well, every month is really Our month, Lady's Month. I mean, in day 12, she tells us, Our Lady says, and you were just talking about Acts, she says, quote, "I called you, my child, and us, her children, into all of my acts. I called your acts to be together with mine, so that in your acts too, even the small, most menial ones, the kingdom of the divine will might be established." End quote. Let's take her up on her offer, because she means it. This month of May, let's grow deeper in our appreciation, I think deeper in our love and affection for our Blessed Mother. Because if we think about it, again, what does Saint Maximilian Kolbe say, which probably the greatest Marianologist, he said, quote, "Never be afraid of loving the Blessed Virgin too much. You can never love her more than Jesus did, end quote. So fear not,
Right.
other
I
sister.
encourage people too to read from the book of Our Lady, a book in the month of May. She gave Louisa a beautiful meditation every
Yes.
day for the month of May. This is a good time for you to read it every day, and you grow closer and closer to Our Lady. This is Our Lady's month coming up. Pray your rosary, pray devoutly, pray from the heart, like Our Lady asks us to pray from the heart. That means meditating on on the mysteries, or on the words that you're saying. That's praying from the heart. Okay.
Right. I'll email that out when I send the email out about the program today, but the month of May. Great. Thank you, Mother, for that reminder. Hello, Sister Magdalena. ¿Cómo está, cana?
Well, I just have to say a little something about Donald Calloway's conversion, and he did mention about those Filipino ladies that encouraged him to pray, even though he didn't understand the beginning. Well, coming from the Philippines, born and raised in the Philippines, I can testify to that. We are a little crazy people.
In a good way.
People can misunderstand us as a fanatic. You know, I mean, a lot of people are upset. The Philippines, because we still don't allow divorce, we still don't have contraception, we still don't have abortion, and people are like, "That's why you are very poor, because you are so fanatic and you are enslaved by the church, and the church tells you, and you just follow the church without thinking, without common sense." You know, Philippines are poor because you don't have common sense. You don't list use your common sense to contracept, to you know all these things. But probably that's true, maybe. But the thing is, you know. I hope the Philippines has changed a little bit these days. I think we become a little bit more materialistic now that, you know, all these social media, everything is now available in all Filipinos, and they want to copycat, and that's very sad. But there is hope. They do love our Blessed Mother. They lo do love our Lord, and I think sometimes you look at them as fanatic because they, you know, they love our Blessed Mother so much. But out of that, they also love the Lord so much. You know, so it seems to me that Our Lady brought the Philippines to the Lord. In fact, one of the testimonies that Don Calloway, Father Calloway, said that there was a message, I think, I don't know where, what, I don't remember the reference, but it seems to me that there was a promise from Our Lady that she will protect the Philippines if they continue to have a devotion to the rosary. And with that said, in fact, when I go home to the home visit this time, I still, it gives me so much joy in my heart that whenever I visited hospitals there, you see crucifixes on the hospital rooms, and they have Santo Niño and Our Lady at the entrance of the hospital. So everywhere you go at the hospital, there are images of the Lord. And in fact, when I had a surgery in 2018, before I, you know, they sedated me and I put me to sleep, it was a major surgery. And the last when I before they put me to sleep, the whole team, nurses, the anesthesiologists, the doctors, they were praying in the Holy Spirit and invoking our Blessed Mother. And then they put the music of Ave Maria. That was the music I listened to while they put me to sleep. And I thought that was so beautiful. And then of course they put me in a private room, and there was crucifix in my room. And so I did not lose my, it seems like I did not lose my prayerful life, religious, as a religious, even when I was at the hospital. And so I think also it co goes to the culture, to the Filipinos. I don't know, you're familiar with nurses, the caregivers of the Philippines, even, you know, homemakers, home caregivers. They tend to kind of treat you like you're the master, you know, like they really are very conscientious. And I think it comes from the love of Mary. You know, I think they learn, a lot of our people learn, you know, a lot from the love of Mary and the love of Jesus. And speaking of moving God, we mentioned, you and Mother mentioned earlier about, you know, the sadness of our culture. You know, the young generations don't have good models anymore, and it sounds sad and bleak. But then you're right, Mother was right, you know, that when we do acts and rounds, when we do everything that we do for the love of God, all that blessing, all that graces, all that deposits that we give to the Lord, it all gives, he gives it to all, to everybody. And it's true, you know, whatever we do, we give it to God. And it has to come from a pure motive. And if I say, okay, I'm going to offer all of these acts, Lord, for love of you, but I'm going to offer it up for my mom, for my parents, for whatever I offer it to, because I know that you love them. It's not so much with the destination where it's going, but God loves my mom, God loves my brothers, God loves everybody in the world. That's why I pray for them, not because of them, but because God loves them. And because God loves them, then I have to pray for them. Does God love the animals? Yes. Does God love the seas, the oceans, everything? He loves it. He loves it. He created it out of love because of his love of man. He didn't create the sun for the sake of the sun. He didn't create the sea for the sake of the sea. All of the creation he created is for man. And so, in other words, you mentioned, Peter, in the previous meetings that it's very important to move God. And how do we move God? It goes back to one word, love. God is love. Jesus is love. Everything is love. We are created out of love. He created everything out of love for the love of man. We are above everybody else. We are above everything else. We are even above the angels. That's what the reason why Satan, because he was envious of man, because he said, how could it be? You know, I'm the most beautiful angel. I'm closest to you, God. How could possibly a person, a human being, Blessed Mother, Adam and Eve, how could they be above me? And he refused to serve man. So that's how much God loves us. If only we realize how much God loves us, if we only realize that, unfortunately, it's very difficult for us to understand because of our weaknesses and sinfulness that clouds us to this reality. But then there is faith. You know, that's why God gave us the grace, the faith, so that even though we don't feel, even though we don't see, even though we don't hear, by faith, by our belief that it is there, it happens. And this faith gives life. You know, if we read Hebrew chapter 1, verse 11, you know, I don't have the passage with me, but it talks about what faith is. And I'm sorry, I don't have the passage right now, but faith is the evidence of things unseen, I think, something like that. And that's hope for what is, I'm sorry, I cannot
do it. And then God even clarified that more in volume two. He says, faith equals God.
Yeah, exactly. And so with that said, talking about moving God, and he can be moved through love, my sharing this time is about on volume 6, May 30, 1905, and it's the life of love of Jesus. And I love this so much because I did not realize that when Jesus talks about love, you know, Jesus is human. His life, we believe Jesus is fully human, 100% human, but he is also 100% divine. So we look at him as God and man. But he mentioned about another life that he has. He talks about the life of love. And I said, well, how could that be? You know, so I'll read to you this passage, and I hope I could share with you what I thought about this. My daughter, I want you all in me so that I may find everything in you. Just as all creatures had life in my humanity, and I satisfied for all, in the same way, by being all in me, you will make me find all creatures in you, that is to say, united with me. You will make me find reparation for all, satisfaction, thanksgiving, praise, and everything that the creatures are obliged to give me within yourself. In addition to divine life and human life, love administered a third life to me, which made all the lives of creatures germinate. Now, this the word germinate, I would also look at me as born within my humanity. So this is so beautiful. I would just like to stop this because this is so rich. The Lord tells us that if we give all of ourselves to him, that is basically to live in his will, so that, you know, we are all of our thoughts, everything that we are, he receives us. And then all that when we are united with him, all that we do gives this reparation for all souls, past, present, and future, for satisfaction, thanksgiving, praise, and everything. So there is nothing missing here. And then he talks about when we join, what he meant here is when we join ourselves and our humanity into his humanity. And then he also said, in addition to divine life and human life, okay, because when we offer our life to his humanity, he also shares with us his divinity. But then he said, love administered a third life to me, which made all the lives of creatures germinate within my humanity. And I thought, okay, love administered a third life. What does it mean? He said, this is the life of love, which, while giving me life, gave me continuous death. It beat me and fortified me. It humiliated me and raised me. It embittered me and sweetened me. It tormented me and gave me delights. What does this life of love not contain? Untiring and ever ready for everything? Everything, everything can be found in it. It's life ever new and eternal. So I was kind of like shocked a little bit. I mean, I've heard of this before, but this is more profound, even deeper now when I thought about it. Jesus, he said that it beat me and fortified me. It humiliated me and raised me. What I understand from this meditation is that when there is an exchange of self, you know, I exchange my life to Jesus through my suffering, through my misery, he takes it upon himself and he takes it. So he feels, because as God, he cannot suffer anymore. He cannot suffer. So but that's why he take on my humanity, all of my weaknesses. And because of that, he is capable of suffering. But he doesn't dwell on the suffering. Jesus doesn't dwell on the suffering. He looks at the fruit, which is the fruit is my salvation, our redemption, our salvation, our happiness, our perfect joy. So when he looks at that, so that's why Jesus suffers. But at the same time, he has joy. It beat me, it fortifies me, it humiliated me through my humiliation, but it also raised him because he's raising me. So there is this mutual indwelling. I like that. I use that word now because I learned it from Francis Hogan earlier when we listened to her. There is a mutual indwelling. So God lives in me and I live in him. So there is an exchange of self. This is not like contract, signing a contract to exchange of services. This is exchange of self. And when there is exchange of self, like husband and wife, they suffer together, but they share joy together. There is exchange of person. And because of that, he said, and that's why it's ever ancient. He said here, what does this love of not contain? Untiring. It doesn't get tired and ever ready for everything. Everything. Everything can be found in it. Its life is ever new and eternal. So it's eternity, and this doesn't end. Even if our life here on earth, when we die, it continues eternally, because now when we live in Jesus, Jesus doesn't die. He doesn't die. He lives for eternity. And so when we share that life of Jesus, then we also do not end. Oh, how I wish to find this life of love in you, so as to have you always in me and to find everything in you. So it's a cycle of love, loving God, loving and him, loving us nonstop, no matter what we do. When we take care of our environment, when we take care of our trees, our forest, that's loving God. When we take care of the poor, the sick, that's loving God. Everything that we do, even simple gestures, what Mother Teresa said, we are not all capable of doing great things, but we are all capable of doing the things with great love. St. Therese talks about prayer. Prayer is not about just uttering words, saying words. Prayer is most of all communication. Communication can just be sometimes a gaze. Communication can just be a sigh. Communication can be in any form because it's a communication of love. So we pray all the time and we live in the divine will. We do acts and rounds, putting God's mind, loving him. We don't have to use words. Words are helpful. Of course, I always use words. I love words, but it's not limited to words. When we offer our acts and rounds in divine will, asking Jesus to do this acts in me, asking Jesus to do everything in me, it's Jesus praying in me. In all of our acts, even my heartbeat, my function, my brain function, my bodily functions. Even when I'm sick, when I don't feel, sometimes I have a headache, sometimes you know, my blood pressure goes up, I don't feel well. And I just, Lord Jesus, suffering in me. And so that itself is a prayer. I can't pray when I am not feeling well, but I don't dwell into misery. Because I know that I'm not alone in this suffering, that God is taking this for his own good use, for good use. And so on June 23, 1905, it's a continuation of this passage about moving God and about loving God and loving in us. He says, my daughter, one who is united with my humanity, already finds herself at the door of divinity. So this is so beautiful. If we unite ourselves in the humanity of Jesus, all our sufferings and misery, we are already at the door of divinity. That's what he said. Because my humanity is mirror for the soul, from which the divinity is reflected in her. when I look at myself in the mirror, I don't just look at my own image, but hopefully I see Jesus in myself. And hopefully when the Father looks at me, he doesn't see just me, but he sees Jesus in me. See, that's what it meant, you know, mirroring each other, indwelling in each other. If one is in the reflections of this mirror, it is natural that all of her being be transmuted, be changed. That's what it meant, into love. So, oh my gosh, love is a person. It's just not about feelings and ideas and whatever, you know, like these people say now about Valentine's love. No, this is a person. There is a transmutation. There is an exchange to the point where this becomes love. Because my daughter, everything that comes out of creature, even the movements of her eyes, of her lips, moving of her thoughts, and all the rest, everything should be love and done out of love. And since my being is all love, wherever I find love, I absorb everything within myself, and the soul dwells safely in me, like someone in his own palace. So what fear can the soul have in her dying of coming to me as if she is already in me? So there's no even fear, even death. You know, the time is so difficult now. We might be going after war. We may be martyred or whatever. There should be no fear in that, because if we live in the divine will, it's really, we are already dead anyway. We are dead to ourselves. We are dead to our own human will. That doesn't mean we throw away our human will. We use our human will in exchange. We exchange our human will to the divine will. So basically, we willed, we decide, we will, we decide to choose God. That's what it meant, to love no matter what, to love him. That we don't give in to our weaknesses, no, we don't give in to temptations, or if we do give in, I will to trust in his mercy. That's what it is. No matter what happens, we always go to God's love, to his mercy. It's always there.
And, you know, with an exchange, there must be change. You know, there must be change within us.
Yes.
And the change may not immediately be exterior. It has to be in the interior, that transmutation. Think about it. The church for 2,000 years has been trying to permeate from the outside in the conversion to bring us back. But now Jesus says, okay, I'm going to do it different. I'm going to go inside and out. Because again, the body permeates the soul. You know, the body in essence sweats out what's in the soul, good or bad.
Actually,
Good, sister.
Yeah, you mentioned about it's mostly in the inside. That's the beauty of it, because you don't get praises from people,
right?
Because it's hidden. It's all of our acts. Who would expect that by blinking my eyes, you know, it's a holy act, you know? So that's why, yeah.
Right. And last, before we go to sister, I just wanted to mention about our, again, I'm trying to accentuate our Blessed Mother, I'm trying to motivate myself for, and everyone else if we can. But think about what Our Lady, what Our Lord said. This is June 6, 1935. I don't have the volume number. I don't know why, but you can look it up by the date, June 6, 1935. And this is just basically Jesus talking. He says, "Know, O child, that I am occasionally compelled to use punishment for the good of creatures. My heart is such that so that they may not hurt, I entrust them all to my mother. Oh, how safe are those souls that are under her protection and live sheltered under her mantle. In some cases, not even death has power over them," end quote. So again, if anyone asks that, what should we do? We have to run to a refuge. Where are we going to go? First and foremost, I believe, is to run to the refuge of our mother's blue mantle. She'll help dispose us. Who's to save? Who's to harbor? Who's to do this? Who's to do that? We all can't do the same thing if we're going to help one another. Go to Our Lady. She has the instructions from our Lord. She'll instruct us, and everything will be well. Thanks be to God. Sister Giuseppe, would you agree?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I like to read something from July 25th, 1937, from volume 34. And when I read this, it really showed like the power of one act done in the divine volition and how it forms impetuous, and how it can be an impetuous wind and air and a celestial atmosphere. So Jesus tells us through Louisa, "Blessed daughter of my volition, have you seen how sweet was the murmur of the sea of my will? And also the souls who live in it do nothing other than murmur together in the sea. They, perfect echo of my fiat, never cease murmuring love, glory, adoration, but in a simple way. So when I read this passage, when it said simple way, it really reminded me of how simple it was to live in the divine will. Like, as human beings, we tend to like overcomplicate things, but really just we can make acts around so simple. We can just look at a flower outside and just say, "I love you, Jesus." And in that way, we participate by murmuring together with Jesus in the sea of the divine will. And the beautiful thing is that it's so hidden and humble that no one sees it. So continuing on with this passage, if they breathe, they murmur love. If they palpitate, if the blood circulates in their veins, if they think, if they move, in everything they murmur, love, love, glory to our Creator. And if they call my will in their acts, they form the impetuous waves in order to envelop God and creatures, so that everyone, heaven and earth, make one single will. One act in my will can be an impetuous wind as to transport, to eradicate with the strength, the passions, the weaknesses, the bad habits, the putrid air of sin, and to substitute for them the virtues, the divine strength, the holy habits, the sanctifying air of my will. So Jesus is telling us here that the more acts we do, that so basically the more acts and rounds we do, the more we acquire the temperaments of Jesus and Mary, the more we become, the more we go back to our original way that God intended us to be from all eternity. Because the more we do these acts and rounds, the more we will be, the more Jesus will eradicate all our passions, all our weaknesses, and and all our bad habits in us. Because really, we can't say, "Oh, I'll get rid of all my bad habits on my own." But it's really Jesus who will do that in us. And then also there, and then also another reflection that came to me is that God is outside of time. So like God is not bound to time like how we are on earth. So basically all these waves that are formed from divine will acts that we do throughout the day, they envelop all generations, past, present, and future. So we can like place our I love you, like when we're reading the Old Testament, we can place our I love yous on like the scenes we read, or we can make like reparations to Jesus for like the lack of faithfulness of the Israelites when they were with Moses in the desert and so on. And the and then in that way we fill those voids of love by uniting our love with Jesus's love to fill the voids of love of other creatures, past, present, and future. So continuing on, one act in my volition can be a universal air that penetrating everywhere and in everyone, by night and by day, can make itself breathe in order to infuse its life and its sanctity, and removing the unhealthy air of the human volition, substitutes there the healthy air of my fiat, in a way as to remain sweetened, embalmed, vivified, healed by this divine air. One act in my fiat can be a celestial atmosphere that encloses in itself all our works, the creation itself, and with the strength of our works assails our divinity and imposes itself over us so as to make us give graces and gifts, as to render the creatures capable of being able to receive the kingdom of our volition. One act of our will can contain such marvels that the creature is incapable of being able to contain all its values. So basically, it's kind of like it's kind of like so an imagery that just came to me when we do acts in the divine will. It's kind of like a purifier or something we use in the air to purify, like the bad air or bad smell, like. When we do that, like even though it's invisible, we know that it works. So likewise, we have faith that when we do these acts and rounds, we're actually in like a we're also in like a spiritual battle with the evil one who's always prowling around like a lion. And it's so important. Also, what I need to remind myself to do more is like being like always like more attentive and like more faithful. And it's and Jesus continually tells Luisa, especially in the higher volumes, the importance of being like be faithful and attentive, because the moment we're tired or not just like physically tired, being like spiritually tired, for any reason, like or kind of like drowsy, or whenever we become kind of like the 10 unwise virgins with the lamps, then that's when Satan attacks us more. And it's so important to just cling. And it's so important to like look up to Mother Mary and say, Mother Mary, please help me to be always like attentive to like God's will for me in like the present moment, and to just realize that all these acts and rounds we do, it's also not just for our sanctification, but it's really beautiful to think it's for all souls, past, present, and future.
And this is hidden. Mother talks about that also. We talk about this is hidden. This is invisible. This is that invisible coming that St. Cyril Jerusalem speaks about and St. Bernard of Clairvaux, where it's going to transform souls, and only the elect feel it. Not the elect, because they're special. Only the elect, actually, we can just feel it, but somehow God has destined us to feel this. And we have to recognize that. This is that intermediate coming. And you know, Mother, I couldn't help but when the sisters were reflecting about volume 14, March 16th, 1922, which again, I can't read it in its entirety, but I think it exemplifies exactly what the sister just mentioned about, you know, Jesus explained that, quote, he says, quote, my dear mama did nothing extraordinary in her exterior life. Even more, apparently she did less than others. She lowered herself to the most ordinary actions of life. She used to spin, sew, sweep, light, fire, etc. So lowering herself to the extremes of life, God lowered himself to become human, to share in our humanity, to understand what we do. He knew what we did, but just to give us that recollection that he knows exactly what we're going through before we go through it, and to trust him. It's all here. You know, all we need to do is just take the time to reflect on it. Again, we can talk to each other about this all day long. We can read, yes. We have to be quiet, I think, after we read and take in this beautiful treasure, and then just allow God and his mother, of course, to expand in our mind, and hope with the grace of God to convert that knowledge into wisdom. Mother?
Yes, you know, lowering ourselves. How can we lower ourselves? Well, we lower ourselves. We come to realize who we are. The more we call him in everything we do, we can't transform ourselves. We can't make ourselves grow in humility. But we can think of him and stop thinking of ourselves, call him in everything we do, and we're going to realize our nothingness more and more on the side of the perfection of God. And as we realize who we are on the side of God, we become very humble, very little, and then total nothingness, realizing our nothingness. And that is perfect joy, to realize who you are on the side of God. The only way we can do there is let him relive his life in us so we can come to realize who we are. He will let us, he will reveal ourselves to us. It says here in volume 26, September 15th, 1929, he says, when I find the germ of my divine will in the act of the creature, I delight in breathing on her act, and I raise it so much as to render it immense. More so, since we can call that act, our will operating in the creature. So it's not our act. Because it's an act of God, everything we're calling him into doing in us, it's God's act. That's why we're dying to ourselves. That's why we're realizing who we are. That's how we get to realize that we are nothing on the side of God. It takes time after time after time. You know, every breath that we breathe, another breath has to follow. Well, we breathe one breath after another, otherwise we'll die. Life continues because our hearts beat, one beat after another, since we were created. Our hearts have been beating. We have been breathing. If our breath, our heart stops beating, the circulation stops, we die. Well, the divine will die in us if we don't have continual acts, he tells Louisa. One act after another. How do we do continual acts? Well, in the morning when you make that little prevenient act, you are doing continual acts. He's doing everything in and through you throughout the day if you don't do anything against his will. But you call him into things during the day that you're doing. And that's how you realize your nothingness more and more and more, to realize him, you know, think of him often during the day. It's a way of praying always. You're always calling him into your mind because you're thinking, what I'm doing, God is doing it in me. I know he's doing it in me. It doesn't even have to be a word after a while. It's just a thought. And after a while, it's just a knowing that God is doing everything, but you're aware of his presence. You're aware that he lives within you, you know, that see him within yourself, to find him within yourself. Stop going into yourself looking for you, going to yourself looking for him. And you're going to be the happiest person around the more you realize his presence within. And October 27th, volume 27, October 18th, 1929, he says, "Now you must know that only in the soul in whom my divine will reigns, since it reigns in all creation, what the soul does unites itself to the single act that my will does in the creation to receive the deposit of all the good that was done in it." So we receive, God did one act. We live in time, so we don't understand God outside of time, but he's outside of time. He did one act, and that one act is in continual activity. God is being crucified right now. God is, it got, everything is present to God. His birth is present. You know, Our Lady, it tells us in the Divine Will writings, we were conceived with him. His conception is present to him right now, and us being conceived with him in Our Lady. Everything he did, he brought all of our actions in his actions. And that's how they all became divine. So he called us into his conception. He called us into his birth. He called us into every step that he walked. He called us into every breath that he breathed, every heartbeat of his heart. So he called us in every one of his activities. And that's how he perfected all of our lives. He relived every person's life to perfection in that way. But it's one act. He did one act. And we can't understand that because we do one thing after another, you know. He said fiat and everything was created. The whole universe, everyone was created. One fiat. They call it the Big Bang. I call it the Big Fiat. You know, he said, let it be. And it all was, you know. God doesn't have to do much. He just has to want it. He has to just desire something and it happens. I was listening to this John Martinez, some people may have listened to him. He talks about after chastisement, the world will look like. And he says, you don't have to move. You don't have to go anywhere. Just stay where you are. God will protect you. You don't have anything to worry about. If you're living your life with God, even holy angels will pick you up and relocate you where you will be safe. God is, God wants you to live, he will take care of you. He will protect you. If God wants you to die, that's not such a big deal. Dying is good. You go to heaven to be with him for all eternity. What do you have to worry about? You know, people who have life after death experiences, they don't want to come back here. Some of them have been upset with the doctors for bringing them back to life. So what do we fear? We fear death. That's a wonderful thing. That's when you really begin to live. Do you fear living on the earth? Well, he's going to take care of you. He loves you. If you're living your life with him, he's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about going to a certain place to be protected. God will protect you where you are. You're living your life for him. So we participate. He says here, we received the deposit of all the good that was done in that one act. So he did one act. And when we put our acts and round in his one act, we also receive all of his acts. We receive everything that he did. That one act that he did is all ours. It's all ours as a gift. We create with him. You know, right now, flowers are growing. It's springtime. Birds are being born. We have a nest on the monk's porch with all these little birds that just hatched. They're being born. We're creating with God. As you live in his divine will, you continue to participate in that creation of everything God created. It says, in fact, this great machine of the universe was done in order to give it to the creature, but to that creature who would let our divine volition reign. So, you know, he created everything wonderful and beautiful for Adam and Eve, who lived totally in his divine will. So now we know that everything he created is for us, those trying to live in his divine will, those who desire to live in his divine will. And in the future, everyone will be living his divine will. Our Lady said in Fatima, there would be a remnant left. That remnant would be living totally in God's divine will. It says that, how to receive it if she is not in our house? That is in our divine will. She would lack the capacity to receive it and the peace in which to contain it. Therefore, only one who possesses my divine will can receive it. My will delights with its single act, as if it were in the act of creating for love of her. It makes her feel its continuous act of creating the heavens, the sun, and everything, and says to her, see how much I love you. Only for you, I continue to create all things. So he continues to create everything happening right now in the springtime. He's creating all of that for you. If you look at a flower, he's shouting out to you from that flower, I love you. I gave you this flower. It's your flower. It might be on somebody else's property, but it's your flower too. He said everything. He told Louisa he loves each person so much. If you'd have to create a whole universe and world for each person, you would have done it. But everything belongs to me. Everything belongs to you. It's all ours. Every star is mine. Every star is yours. You put your I love you on it. Take it as your own and give it to him because it belongs to you. He gave it to you. And to receive the requital from you, I make use of your acts as material in order to extend the heavens, as material of light in order to form the sun, and so with all the rest. The more acts you do in my fiat, the more material you administer to me with which to form more beautiful things in you. Therefore, let your flight in my will never stop, and I will take the occasion to always operate in you. So he wants to operate in you. He just wants you to desire it, to ask. You know, what does the scripture say? Ask and you shall receive. God wants to give to you. Just ask and desire it and know that he's given it to you. You don't have to feel all kinds of glowy feelings. You just know that your faith tells you what he tells Louisa in here is true. Why do you know it's true? Because it's transforming your life. It's bearing good fruit. You judge everything by its fruit. If the divine will writings are changing your life, it's bearing good fruit in your life. You know it's of God. You don't have any doubt. You know, judge everything by its fruit. If it's not doing you any good, I'd say stop reading it. But if it's helping right. you to grow, keep reading it. It's bearing good fruit in your life. It's a gift. So, okay.
You're right. There's really two quick things, Mother. I'm sorry for that. But you mentioned about May being, again, we're talking about being the month of May. And you mentioned about that, really, that's the springtime where everything is blossoming and blooming. And in fact, that's dedicated because May is considered the season of beginning of new life. So wouldn't that make sense to dedicate that month to our Blessed Mother? And last but not least, Mother, you were mentioning about we don't have to run anywhere. You know, for journeying the divine will, we're going to be protected wherever we are. Actually, Jesus speaks about that really quickly, if I may. It's volume 11, May 18th, 1915. Quote, "The divine justice imposes chastisements, but neither these nor God's enemies get close to those souls who live in my divine will. Know that I will have regard for the souls who live in my will and for the places where these souls reside." End quote. So if we're worried about our families, they usually reside where we are, spiritually or physically. So there's nothing to worry about in the divine world. Thank you, Mother.
Yeah, May is a great month. Everything growing, everything's beautiful. It's Our Lady's Month. I'm happy because I was born on May 2nd. So my birthday's coming this week. Pray for me on my birthday. I appreciate the prayers. But, you know, I'll be 79 on May 2nd. So pray for me so I can get holy. I don't have much time left, maybe. I want to live that fourth degree of living in the divine will before I die. I don't know if I'll get there, but, you know, who knows. But I want to do it just because I want to give God the honor and glory he deserves, not for me, not for what I want, you know. But and this month of May, just really pray your rosaries and pray them well, because this is Our Lady's month. And Our Lady is the one who helps you live in the divine will. You know, we say that little prayer three times a day, asking Our Lady to take us by the hand. We say it in the morning, noon, and evening to help us live in God's divine will. But she's a mediatrix of all graces. She's going to help you get there. So, you know, pray to Our Lady. Pray to St. Joseph, too. Because St. Joseph's a great, great saint and lived in the umbrella of the divine will in the Holy Family and in the house of the Holy Family. They were all in the divine will, you know. So pray to them to help you live it. They will help you. They want to help you. They just want you to ask.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mother, did you say your birthday is May 2nd?
May 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Is that this coming Thursday?
That's Thursday, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but you're not on Radio Maria this Thursday, are you? Because we can sing happy birthday to you on Radio Maria.
I don't think I am, huh?
It's
we
Italy?
Are? Oh, we are. Yeah, we are. We are this Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, y'all can sing happy birthday to me.
Yeah, we're going to. We'll have a couple thousand people doing it all over the world. Wonderful.
Because I'm happy. Well, I'm so happy. I'm so grateful to God that I was born. I'm grateful to my parents. They participated in what they needed to do to get me here, you know, but I'm so grateful that I'm here, that God created me. And so I want to give God the honor and glory that he deserves with my life. And so, and that I can, sorry for all the mistakes I made in my life, but you know, God knows my heart and know that I want to do the rest of my life in a better way if I can, you know.
Yeah, it's good to be able to grow old. Yeah. Sister Faustina, you'll know that many, 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 many years from now.
Yeah.
Right. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good to be here. So talking about fruit, I wanted to share from the gospel today that we read during the Mass. It really touched my heart because I couldn't help myself on thinking what the priest was reading it, well, the deacon was reading it, the thing about what Jesus tells us through Luisa and the divine will over and over again about how every time you live in it, like every day that you live in his divine will, you're taking part of his life, and then he multiplies those fruits in you to make it your own, even though we no merit of our own, but then by giving them to you, you can give them back to him as a greater glory and love. And I just love how also it just said in the gospel, like, remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And then at the end where he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. And today in my spiritual reading, it happened to be that I started reading volume 19. And the third passage is talking about, he's explaining to Luisa how God played a risky game with men by giving him in his human will. He deposited all his attributes and all his life as a bank, so that the man will be able to grow holier and happier in his divine will. And then at the very end, it's beautiful how he says, he's asking Luisa to tie his human will in his under his feet, like Our Lady did, so that she will die to herself and he will live in her. And then he said, my daughter, I have won the little flame of your will and you have won mine. Had you not lost yours, you could not have won mine. Now we are both happy. We are both victorious. But look at the great difference which exists in my will. It is enough to do an act, a prayer, an I love you once, that taking its place in the supreme volition, that same act, prayer, or I love you remains as always in the act of being done, without ever ceasing. In fact, when an act is done in my will, that act is no longer subject to interruption. After it is done once, it is done forever, as if it were continuously being done. The operating of the soul in my will comes to partake in the ways of the divine operating. When it operates, it does always the same act, with no need of repeating it. What will your many I love yous in my will be? Always repeating their refrain, I love you, I love you. They will be many wounds for me and will prepare me to conceive the greatest grace, that my will be known, loved, and fulfilled. Therefore, in my will, prayers, works, love enter into the divine order. And one can say that it is I myself who prays, works, loves. And what could I deny to myself? In what will I not delight? So this last paragraph is just beautiful because it's a fulfillment of the gospel. It's how am I going to deny myself whatever you want? Because it's him asking in us. And once that our human will is not fused into his divine will, is that perfect synchronization between our creator and ourselves. And I can meditate in the gospel on how beautiful is his love, how great is his love, because even though we don't deserve it, because we're not loyal to him, he gives everything of himself to us, and then he fulfills his desires in ourselves, and then it's just like a beautiful contribution of men with God and God with men. And it's just like, it's like I remember when I went to Ireland to a retreat, one of the people that we met, she was like, this is just mind-blowing, you know, like you can be all day thinking and meditating about the divine will. It's always new. It's always new. And you cannot even express yourself with words how you feel. And it's just so beautiful how all the acts that you do, little acts, like how Mother was saying, breathing, your heartbeat, it is constant because this is the divine will, because it's a continuous act that never ends. And now with our consciousness, or like knowledge about it, just be so grateful for your life. Just be so happy that you are chosen among a lot of people to be living in this time. And I remember one time we were also sharing, like, if I could have the option now of being an apostle of Christ in the New Testament, you know, like Peter or whatever, and being right now, I'll choose this time because it's a greater glory that you can give to the Lord, and it's just a fulfillment of His will that is the life of everything, like His redemption, sanctification. So I just really encourage you to always keep reading and living the divine will. It's just beautiful how we are called to this mission and how our mother said this month of May, just a great gift that we also have. Our Mama Mary, she is the greatest gift that we could have. She's just, I've been listening, sometimes I'm listening to videos about people converting to Christianity more and more. And all the stories are always like interconnected on how they came back to the Christianity because of Our Lady, because she presented herself to the people. And then they just saw this beautiful face that Our Lady irradiates because the divine will lives in her. And it's just really inspiring and really like it makes me hope more and more of how through her we're gonna be saved and we're gonna be protected about not living the divine will. Because also Jesus says to Luisa, it's gonna be really hard for you to live my divine will once your intention is already there. So don't worry about your imperfections. It happens, we're humans. But believe me, when we go to heaven, if that's your desire, you're gonna see all these beautiful sons, like your acts done in the divine will, and you're gonna rejoice and be really happy.
Yeah, he keeps wrapping us until the point where we can't get out. That's what he says. Even if we wanted to get out, we can't. And that's a really good thing. Before we go to sister, I'd like to just mention one more quote from Saint Maximilian Kolbe. He says, quote, "If anyone does not wish to have Mary Immaculate for his mother, he will not have Christ for his brother." End quote. These are astonishing little quotes that have so much more meaning now in the divine will. Sister?
Really beautiful when we get to reflect on just the love that Our Lady has for each of us and for every soul. And yeah, I reminded too of the gospel today of at my hometown church in Minnesota. The woman who's the catechist, Jean, she is teaching the little ones in the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd program about the divine will and how they would simply just understand through the parable of Jesus being the vine and we are the branches and like what's keeping us together. And I remember a little girl saying, "It's the divine will, it's the divine will," like yeah, it's all about the divine will. And just how, yeah, it's so simple. Like Jesus gives us these beautiful parables and these beautiful teachings in the writings of the Book of Heaven, the example of the sun, of the flowers, of each created thing to help us to remember God's love for us and to return that love back to Him. And with Our Lady too being the defender of His love and helping us to win souls with Him. I just opened up to a passage from volume 19, July 2nd, and it's talking about Jesus's telling her kind of the difference between sanctity of virtues and that of living in the unity of the light of the divine will, and all about kind of justice too. And he says to Louisa, "My daughter, the scale of my justice is full and overflowing upon creatures. As daughter of my will, do you want me to place you in the reflections of my justice that you may share in its blows? Indeed, it is about to make a heap of the earth, and while satisfying justice with your suffering, you will spare your brothers. One who lives in the high kingdom of the supreme will must defend and help those who are down below." And I just think about too, like with that being a defender, Louisa was a prayer warrior and a defender of Jesus throughout her life, through being the victim of his justice, as Jesus would tell her, to be able to take on the sufferings that are, siblings in Christ, other peoples would injustice in God's mercy too, be receiving. But she was the mediator, like Our Lady. She received the justice so that others might be spared and be able to receive the Lord's mercy and for their souls. And it's just, yeah, the calling that Jesus is inviting us into as little prayer warriors with him, and to be able to see, you know, the great gift it is to be able to defend Jesus, and to be able to speak the truth in love, to be able to receive those justice. I remember a priest talking in Divine Will about how, if you, you know, if you want to live in the divine will, it's like you're asking Jesus for the sufferings of others, which can sound kind of like, oh, like our human nature, fallen human nature is like kind of rebels against suffering. But really, it's a great invitation that we get to unite our sufferings with Jesus on the cross. And it, we might receive more sufferings or different sufferings, but we also might just be living in the same life that we were living, but with a greater knowledge, a greater understanding of the fact of what our sufferings are able to do with Jesus's on the cross, that we're able to help convert souls, and help others to see the light, to be able to live in the divine will, most importantly, for God's greater honor and glory, and to be able to love him with his own love. And yeah, it's just a really a beautiful time too, as we hear, like, I'm just hearing birds out the window, and just Jesus's love for us in all creation. It helps us in our, you know, in whatever sufferings we may be facing, that he will always give us the strength to bear it with him, and the consolations that we need to keep going, and to keep trusting and loving him, and be able to see, you know, we might not see the fruit. We may not, you know, we might kind of like scripture talking about, you know, like the mustard seed, or just the littleness of our acts. We might not see the fruit of that. But ultimately we're growing our bank account in heaven, as Mother would say. We're growing, just, yeah, the love around the world. And I think that's something that's so beautiful about the divine will, is it's really, it's for everybody. It's for God to be able to reign in his kingdom that we are so anxiously waiting.
Thank you. So very articulate reflection. When you mentioned about the understanding, that's something we have to really think about also, because sometimes we put a lot of pressure on ourselves that we must understand this completely. Jesus says, I don't have the volume in front of me, but he says, whether we understand these truths in full or even in part, we deserve to be called children of God. So we're journeying regardless of our a full or partial understanding of the truths. And even Pope Benedict, or the former Pope Benedict, Emeritus, when he was giving a talk, he says, don't try to explain everything. In fact, it was very divine willish, Mother. He said this, I don't have the date, I'm sorry, but I know these are his words. Quote, God is wrapping up everything. 6,000 years of assistance through grace is now being organized and explained by God himself so as to define unequivocally truth, the truth and nothing but the truth, not through man. And man must realize he cannot explain everything. End quote. It's the mystery of God, mystery of the divine will.
Yeah, when we turn to God with all our hearts, he explains everything through us. So even though we're not very intelligent, he becomes intelligent in us. You see, very well-educated people making such crazy mistakes in the world, doing crazy things with terrible truths in the world. They think what is the truth. You could choose what sex you want to be. That's crazy. Intelligent people going along with, right, these crazy ideas, because when you don't follow the Lord, you follow the devil makes you really stupid. Intelligent people become unreasonable and stupid. Whereas in the world, even uneducated people become very wise and intelligent when they allow God to relive his life in them. In volume 25, October 17th, 1928, it says, each truth I have manifested on my divine will is not only a divine life that I have issued from myself, but it possesses a sweet enchantment to enchant the human will, which enchanted by mine will feel itself under the enchantment of an inactivity and will give free field of action to my divine will. So each truth on my divine will be a fierce army against the human will. So each truth we learn, and the only way we can learn these truths is read these volumes. Each truth we learn it becomes a fierce army against the human will, so that your human will becomes more and more united with his will. Your human will is a gift to prove your love to him. He's going to let you keep that. He doesn't take your human will away from you, But your will and his will must become one will. You want only what he wants. But do you know what it will be fierce with? With light, with strength, with love, with beauty, with sanctity, to wage war on the human will by means of all these weapons. The human will, before all these weapons, will undergo a sweet enchantment and will let itself be conquered by the divine fiat. Each additional knowledge on it is a greater enchantment that the human will undergo. The truths I have told you about my divine will are as many paths in order for it to make its way into the human will, which will first prepare and then form my kingdom in the midst of creatures. So he's forming a kingdom right now in the midst of all of us, all those people who embrace this great gift, and more people all over the world. It's growing so fast. The divine will is growing like leaps and bounds. The more it's persecuted, the more it grows. Don't worry about the persecution. It's growing. It's growing very fast. I hear from people all over the world, Australia, all over Europe, you know, all even Africa, all everywhere. So this is really growing. God said it wouldn't, no one will stop it. Maybe because of some confusion, it may be held back a bit, but it's going to come. He says, whatever he ordains happens. He's already ordained this. You know, it's going to happen. You know, everyone will be living in his divine will. Let's see, where did I stop here? Each additional knowledge is a greater enchantment. Just as each truth possesses an enchantment, so each act done by the creature in my will is an encounter that she has with my volition to receive all the strength of this divine enchantment. So the more acts of my will she does, the more human ground she loses, acquiring the divine. And if she plunges all of herself into it, the only thing left to her will be to remember that she has a will, but that she keeps it at rest and enchanted by the divine will. So the only thing you're going to remember as you live and grow more and more and live in his divine will is that you do have a human will. You're going to remember that it's there, but you won't be living on your divine will. You can be living in his on your human will, but in his divine will, because your will become more and more one with his. Every day, you have every day to do this. Some people can grow very fast in it. Some people slowly if they don't apply with their reading. But if you're really serious about it and you call him in everything you do, every day you're growing little by little, every day, more and more and more, and allowing him to relive his life in you, which is perfect joy. So don't stop. He says, in order to live in the divine will, it has to be continual acts all day long, never stopping. Otherwise it dies, just like I said before. Your body will die if you stop breathing. You got a continual breath, one breath after another. Your heart stops beating. You have one continual heartbeat after another. Your heart stops beating, you die. If you stop these continual acts, the divine will dies in you. You wanted to keep it alive. You wanted to keep functioning, letting him function within you, doing everything in and through you throughout the day, thinking of him throughout the day. It's a habit. You get in the habit of doing it. How do you get in the habit? You got to start somewhere. You got to start doing it. And persevere, and don't beat yourself up if you get lax, a little bit lax with it, and you forget. Realize that God knows how weak we are. He just wants you to keep coming to him, keep seeking him, keep calling him in everything, even when you forget some days. Don't worry about it. Don't beat yourself over it. You know, be patient with yourself. Just be little and say, okay, I've given it up for a while. I want to go back to it. I want to go back. You know, we have oblates in the divine will, but maybe between 800 and 900 oblates. And all you have to do to be an oblate is to read it every day and truly live your Catholic faith. Well, to read it every day, we suggest 30 minutes a day. Some days if you miss, it's okay. But on a regular basis, you should read it. I think the only purpose of the oblate order is to keep people reading it on a regular basis so that they can live in the divine will. If you really want to remain an oblate, you have to keep doing that. You stop doing either one of those, being a good Catholic or reading the divine will, you're no longer an oblate. You want to become an oblate again, you just go before the Blessed Sacrament. You don't need a priest. You just go before the Blessed Sacrament, read your little consecration formula again, get right back in. As long as you keep doing those two things, you are an oblate, and you receive graces from giving that commitment to God. And I think all the oblates too, they pray for each other. We pray for the oblates. So a lot of people have told me that they, even though they were reading it since the 90s, they understood when they became oblates, they understood it in a deeper way, because I think they got more grace. from, of course, persevering every day to read it, but also because everyone in the Oblate community and in our communities are praying for you. But you know, you belong to our family then when you become an Oblate. You belong to the Benedictine Oblates of the Divine Will. So if you want to join our family, you become an Oblate, but you got to read it every day, you know, and really, really apply it in your life, you know, so you can be transformed and live totally in His divine will. That's what we all really want. We want to embrace this gift that's so profound.
And also becoming an Oblate Mother, again, just another glorious opportunity to give our fiat to God. Again, so again, take advantage of it. There's no dues, there's no meetings, there's no anything except the joy and love of being immersed in this gift of gifts produce. It's just incredible. Mother, back to you. We still have a few minutes.
No, and it also he tells Luisa how the repetitive acts that we do is a sign that you love it. Like the more you do is because you love to do it. It's like, and the more you love it, you possess it, and it is yours now. So nobody's going to take it from you unless you allow it to happen. So I think that's a clue that to be persistent, consistent on reading the Book of Heaven, take it as that it's yours already. Like it's a gift that He gave to you, and just guard it and just fight for it. Like how we will fight for a family member. Just do the same thing, because it's God giving it to you, because He trusts in you, because He saw your disposition, your intention of wanting it, but it's like a plant. You gotta keep watering the plant. I remember when I first started my vocation, to religious life, a priest told me, you know, that even though you enter the community, you gotta keep watering your plant, your vocation, because if you don't do, you're gonna lose the grace. Because even though I'm part of the community already, and I'm a religious nun and I'm a novice now, if I stop praying, if I'm just lingering, you know, like outside world, or just not being obedient to mother, little by little, that grace diminishes, because I'm not taking care of my vocation. So it's the same with all vocations, marriage, with everything. So more so for the divine will also, if you want to keep it, to keep growing in you, just make the commitment. And that commitment is also like a loyalty that you give to God, of keep doing your acts and rounds and living in the divine will.
Well said.
Beautiful. Yeah, I was thinking when you were sharing that, sister, of how Jesus often tells Luisa to take, you know, gulps, little sips of the divine will. And that's really what, you know, reading the Book of Heaven, the Virgin Mary book, and the Hours of the Passion is like receiving from the Father, from Jesus and the Holy Spirit, like the overflowing font, you know, in Revelation, like the living water that keeps us and sustains us to be able to say yes in those bigger moments too, where we're called to, I don't know, you know, whatever, where we call to martyrdom or whatever, like harder crosses, like Jesus will, because you've been taking those little sips, we're able to take maybe a bigger gulp with Him. And yeah, and it's something that never runs dry. So there's always more for Jesus that He wants to teach us, that He wants to give us His love, that He wants us to really be more and more His beloved children and beloved spouses. Well, you know, whatever vocation, we're all going to be married to Jesus in heaven, and we'll have that just eternal bliss. So you get that here on earth with reading Divine Will.
Incredible. What an uplifting Sunday, Mother. Every time we get together for this 90 minutes, I don't know about anyone else, but I'm like floating out of here. I mean, this is great, but this is the divine will. This is what it can do. This is what the world cannot give us, no matter what we have physically, materially. But this is something spiritually, and He made it the greatest gift, that once we get a taste of it, we become addicted to it. Final words, Mother, please.
It's fun. Living divine will is fun.
That's true.
I've had so much fun since I started reading this. And so we have fun talking about it. I can't stop talking about it. You know, when I went back to, when I left Mother Angelica, I was Sister Mary Catherine there. And I was inspired to go back one day on the feast day of the three archangels, St. Michael, St. Gabriel, St. Raphael, to go back to my baptismal name, which is Gabrielle Marie. And I chose the title, Annunciation. So I'm Mother Gabrielle Maria of the Annunciation. So I feel I have to announce the divine will. I can't stop. It's like, you know, it's just once you love it, it's just like whenever you love, you just want to share with others. You love people. You want to give this gift to everybody. I was just one little final thing I wanted to say here. This was in volume 26, June 4th, 1929. Our Lord says, as the divine will grows in the creature, the more acts she does in my divine fiat, the more the creature grows within the womb of my celestial father. The supreme being opens his womb and encloses in it this happy creature to raise her in a divine manner, to clothe her with royal garments, to feed her with the food with their own hands, to embellish her with rare beauty. All of heaven remains amazed, enraptured in seeing that their creator raises a creature within his womb, and they say among themselves, he must be doing something great with her, for he loves her so much and keeps her in such great custody as to raise her within his paternal womb, and all await the full growth of this creature to see what will become of her. Therefore, the prodigy of living in the divine world is unique. It communicates such power to one who lives in it that she enters everywhere, and God himself loves and wants to raise her within his divine womb. So it's like we're in the womb of the Father, getting ready to be born into all eternity, living hopefully totally in his divine will. We pray for that for each other, that we can all reach that fourth degree of living in divine will. He wouldn't have given Louisa, told her about these four degrees if he wouldn't want us to know about it and know that it's possible that we can reach that perfection that he expects, he would love us to reach, of letting him totally live his life in his in you. And you can do it. Everybody can do it. You don't have to be a person of all kind of great abilities or a very sacrificial person. You don't have to be a very penitential person. He takes all the little people, the people who feel very, very weak. And the more weak you feel, the more he can use you, the more he'll penetrate into your soul and take you into his womb to let you grow minute by minute, moment by moment in his divine will.
Right, amen. And you know that we have actually a visual of those degrees also, Mother, on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, on the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids. And again, this comes from the volumes, and we had it audited by Father Annuzzi, so it's correct. So if you'd like to look at that, it's great. I'd like to end with a couple quotes from Pope Francis before we open up the phones to everyone else to say goodbye to Mother and the sisters. This is Pope Francis back in October 26, 2020. Quote, the times we live in are the times of Mary. To go to Mary's school is to go to the school of faith and life. She teaches because she is the disciple. She teaches well the basics of human and Christian life. And last but not least, like Mary, the church is a mother. Like Mary. Thanks be to God for everything he's given us, including the divine will. So if anyone would like to unmute themselves and say goodbye to Mother and the sisters, you may do so, I believe, now. Love you, Mother. Love you, sisters.
Bye,
God
Mother.
Bless you. God bless
you. Bye, Mother.
Bye. 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 Love you all.
Bye, Mother.
Bye, Mother.
Bye, sisters.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mother.
God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, sisters. Thank you, Mother.
We love you.
Bye, Mother.
Love you, too.
Love you, sisters.
Happy birthday, Mother.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Love you.
Thank you.
God bless you all.
Love you.
Love you, too. Oh, there's Anne. Hello, Anne.
Hello, Anne.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mother.
Love you.
Bye.
Peter.